774 ABC Melbourne. I'd like you to meet someone I like to think has the best collection of coloured pencils of any kid on his block. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Ross. Hooray for him.
Thank you.
Alex, in my mind, you sit at like one of those tables that's on an angle and you've got a light on it and you still sketch and draw. Is any of that true now in 2013, the way we create art for comics?
Well, it is true for probably still the majority of comic artists that they still work on paper with pen and pencil.
Isn't that funny? Don't you think it's odd that you guys draw an imagined future world or a world that might have been this incredible future thing and use what, kind of looks like old school technology? What is that thing you're holding? It's a pencil.
What are you writing on? I think it's a much better thing to work with tactile instruments, really. There's a lot of guys who have switched over to working on a tablet and both drawing and painting images on a tablet with modern technology. And I think it's a difference of whether or not you like to look at a beaming light in your face all day long versus, say, a piece of paper that's, under a lamp. So I prefer to not have my artwork kind of digital to begin with.
It's got to also have that nice familiar home field, isn't it? Your mum, she was a graphic designer, wasn't she? She would have been working with pens and pencils and boards and all that sort of
stuff.
Yeah,
she did fashion illustration. She did paper doll books, and she kind of led the way for me from the art school that she went to in Chicago. It was the same one I went to 40 years after she did.
Mm. When you're a little kid, lots of kids draw stuff, for fun. They draw the things they like, the superhero they'd like to be or they, whatever. Did you put more time and effort into those drawings than perhaps other kids? Was it always a thing for you?
Absolutely, yeah. As soon as I saw Spider-Man on television, I was captivated, and I thought, that's either what I want to be or I want to draw that all the time.
Yeah. After the first couple of years of letting spiders bite you, did you realize, maybe I'm going to draw it?
How much suffering would I have had to go through with all those spider bites?
Yeah, look, it's bad. Yeah, that poor little Alex Ross, he's all swelled up again. Little kid, let a spider bite him.
The really silly thing is, as an adult, I've actually had the chance to get some of these costumes of characters I've used as props in the process of how I've made my comics. And so I have a full-sized adult Spider-Man costume that I've used in model reference that either I've worn or models of mine have worn for me. So I can live the Spider-Man dream now.
Alex, just because it's just you and I talking on a phone, have you ever at any stage put on the Spider-Man outfit when you are not specifically working?
Yes, but for Halloween parties.
Have you ever at any stage put the Spider-Man costume on? It's not Halloween. You might just be ordering pizza. I don't know what you're doing. Have you ever done
it,
that?
It could always be under my clothes. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a serial abuser of props, aren't you? Didn't the Academy loan you an Academy Award so you could do the poster and you just photographed you and your family all accepting it?
That's right. Yeah. I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And working from real items and real people is, it's a key part of what my stuff is. It's trying to make sort of a mini movie of things before Hollywood gets around to doing it all.
Yeah, I don't think that gives you the right to abuse the props in the way you do, but sure, let's gloss over that. Alex Ross is famous in this world because he brought a kind of Norman Rockwell realism to his artwork. And as a result, and what I find really interesting about that is because it's quite stylistically different, a kind of very human look to superheroes and all that kind of stuff. But what I find interesting is that fans really enjoyed that look. What do you think that is? Are you a fan as well, and therefore you connected? Why do you think there's this connection?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, certainly that I'm working to try and reach people who are the same as me in terms of we're both interested in the same things. But as far as the Norman Rockwell aspect of things, I think it just relates to realism, that there's always going to be an attention and that realism will get in both illustration and, of course, in adaptation into movies and TV shows, taking these things and making them seem believable and viable is always the challenge.
You work for DC Comics. We should we should describe really, well, I mean, you work for Marvel as well, but we should do describe to people who perhaps don't have any idea that these are two different houses. They're like two different pantheons of gods, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, comics has a lot of publishers within it and has so for the last 80 years, but the two giants are DC and Marvel, and you can easily sort of separate them as DC is Superman and Batman, and Marvel is Spider-Man, Hulk, Captain America, all those other Stan Lee-related characters.
Is it what's it like to be a grown-up working in this world? Do you have to explain patiently to people that no, I can make a living as an artist in the comic book world, and I in fact stand atop it like a colossus? Do you have to explain that to people?
I want people to say that to me so I can believe it. But you know, the one thing you find yourself correcting, if you choose to correct it, is the term cartooning. You know, you draw the cartoons, right? Like, well, no, not well, yeah, sure. And especially given the painted way that I approach stuff, it seems even less appropriate that that terminology be applied to it. But, you know, people only know the terms that they know.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to let that feeling like your teeth down a blackboard go a little, as noobs tell you.
Hey, you draw cartoons.
Yeah, you can't have it in your mind that you got to correct everybody.
Yeah, you'd like to, God knows. And in fact, you know, maybe that's something you can team up with someone and do Correcto Man, the guy with the superpower of being able to just correct everyone. And appear. I'm going to stop you there. That movie's not that.
When I was first working in advertising many years ago, I'd explained when I first met the other artists working with me that I had the ambition to be a graphic novel artist. They specifically would quote that back to me for the next years that I worked there, like, oh, he wants to be a graphic novelist. And that I was so full of myself as to choose that term that I was punished forever for it, so I have to accept if you want to call what I do funny books, it's whatever term you want to use. So,
yeah, I'm still feeling your quiet rage about the whole, I get the sense that you want to be standing up in the sunroof of the limo, flipping them off as you drive past going, who's got a graphic novel now? Huh? Who's got a graphic novel now? Yeah, okay, that's healthy. 1996 seemed like a pivotal time in the world of comics for you because you team up with Mark Waid and you do Kingdom Come. So why don't we just talk about that for a moment. So the people who aren't familiar with, you know, comics, what was the significance of that and what happened?
Well, there's a lot of miniseries and special projects in comics history that have gotten attention over time. And, you know, the storyline Watchmen was a big one of those. And I always wanted to make my own kind of version of the same. And so to build up my own version of a Watchmen or a Dark Knight was to make this series called Kingdom Come, which was about the DC heroes in their later years as the world had changed around them, where there was a whole generation of new superheroes that were completely out of control. And the classic heroes of Superman and Wonder Woman had to pretty much bring the band back together to kind of put the world right, but in effect, their story, the Kingdom Come story, is an apocalyptic one. It's really about the end of the era of the superheroes in some ways, and it was a commentary upon the nature of superhero comics at the time, that everything was kind of exploding outward and seemed to eventually leading up to a crash, which is what happened in the marketplace.
And it was hugely popular, which is the bit you're not adding.
I can't say that.
Well, of course you can. It's history. It put you on the map, you and Mark, and launched you even bigger into the comic book stratosphere. So that now, if you go to a convention now, a Comic Con or something like that, do large numbers of folk recognize you just by your face? They don't need you to be standing under the Alex Ross artwork or anything.
That has happened, yeah, because when Wizard magazine was around, they published my photo a great many times, and so, you know, you get to recognize certain talents by the way they appeared in print.
Isn't that interesting? Well, it's a long way from drawing stuff and while your mum was doing work, isn't
Oh, yeah.
This exhibition we've got at Silver K also includes Star Trek stuff. How did you get on to doing the Star Trek stuff?
It was actually a commission done for a company that was making a model kit of the Enterprise. And so they wanted predominantly the ship and the three lead actors, you know, DeForest Kelly, Leonard Nimoy, and William Shatner in the piece. And it was the first commercial opportunity I'd had to draw these actors, and a real challenge because you're talking about three of the most illustrated faces in the last 40 years. Everybody knows these guys, so if you get the illustration wrong, boy, do people understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. It's exactly. In our DNA, almost, we know what the original cast of Star Trek looked like.
Yeah, it's one of the challenging things I've found every time I've had to draw somebody that's real, because I can make things look realistic the rest of the time, but you don't know necessarily the models I'm using for Superman or Batman or whoever, but if I have to draw Harrison Ford for you, you might immediately know whether or not I did my job well. And this is one of those tests, this illustration.
Have you got a favorite from the Star Wars world, by the way? Just you mentioned Harrison Ford. You got a favorite in there?
Oh, of the actors, of the characters?
Well, of things to draw, I guess, if you were going to if you're going to do that.
Wow. Well, I've done a few illustrations now of Star Wars characters from a comic series recently, and I feel the strongest connection to Mark Hamill because I know he was the center character of the whole thing, and I want to try and give my best effort towards him. Like, I look forward the most to him returning to his role in the new movies they're going to make.
Yeah, it's interesting. Alex, a pleasure to chat to you. On your board now, because your projects are so complex, are you still just sketching and drawing? Or is there a team of minions who do that kind of stuff?
No. I've only, you know, in sort of test cases, I've painted over other pencils occasionally, but the predominant amount of my work is always me doing the entire package, and life is a lot simpler that way. So you just keep it as me drawing, penciling, laying out, and, you know, sometimes even having to model for myself to get the artwork done right. But I've used many different friends as photo models over the years as well.
We're back to wearing the Spider-Man outfit, aren't we?
That's right.
Yeah, I understand. Alex, what are you working on right now?
Right now, I had just completed a Superman painting for a limited edition print for the same person who's got the prints over at the Silver K Gallery. So that's a new thing that should be coming out later this year.
Fantastic. Alex, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck. Keep your hands supple and your eye keen, and know that around the world people enjoy your work, which is always just a wonderful thing to be able to think to yourself when you go and get a coffee.
I very much appreciate it.